How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 46 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. It's season preview week at Locked On Thunder and at the Norman Transcript. And today we've got part four, going over the coaching, going over the schemes, going anything relating to coaching is what we're going to be talking about today. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can head on to iTunes and search Locked On Thunder to subscribe to the podcast there. You can also leave a review if you want to. Find us on audioboom.com as well. Today's episode is brought to you by SeatGeek. Use SeatGeek to find the best deals on tickets. I went over part one of season preview week in Monday's podcast. That was on the Thunder Guards. Part two, Tuesday, on the Thunder Wings. Part three, Wednesday, the Big Men. You can find those wherever you listen to Locked On Thunder. You can also go to normantranscript.com to follow my Thunder coverage. That's got everything. That's who I write for, so that's got everything that I write. And you can check out Thunder Road. That's my Springsteen-inspired blog on there. It's under the sports tab on the site. You can find it there. And that's got corresponding write-ups, corresponding articles on every single preview that I've done so far. It's also got the rest of my blog. So it's going to have reaction from, you know, Sam Presti's press conference, which he had on Wednesday to start the season. Really the first Thunder event that we've had to start the year, or specifically media event that we've had to start the year. And, you know, media day is on Friday, guys. Media day Friday, big deal. We're coming. Season's starting real soon. Training camp Saturday. But you can find all that stuff. Whenever you want Thunder coverage, it's always there. You know, I try to write as much as I can. I try to podcast as much as I can. So I don't take days off during the season. Maybe I'll take one day off. But I for the most part, don't take days off. So you'll be able to find that stuff whenever. And speaking of not really taking days off, I'm on every day of the week now. I am off weekends, so I'm taking days off the podcast because who wants to hear my voice every single day, 7 days a week? There isn't enough to talk about for 7 days a week, but there will be coverage, of course, on Thunder Road on Saturdays and Sundays. Just no podcasting. Off weekends on Monday through Friday on the show. Tomorrow is going to be the final installation of Season Preview Week, Part 5. Going to be doing predictions, expectations, gambling too. Over-under win totals are already out. The Vegas released them this week. The Thunder came in at 45.5 wins. I'll certainly address that on the next podcast. I'll make a prediction, use some logic, give some advice on that front, and some more gambling advice as well, some more predictions, some more expectations, and everything. At some point in the near future, I'm going to do a podcast just on wins over unders as well, and that's going to be for every team in the league. I'm thinking about just doing that next week. I think that would be a fun podcast. It depends on how timing works out exactly when I do it, but it will get done at some point in the near future because that's just a fun podcast to do. Let's get to today's preview, part four of season preview week, the coaching. Let's do it. And remember, there is a corresponding article on normantranscript.com. I'm going to be talking about schemes a lot today. I'm going to be talking about kind of nerdy basketball 101 because you can't talk about coaching in an intelligent way without talking about kind of basketball X's nose to some degree. You just can't do it. Obviously, there's a lot more to coaching than that. There's managing a locker room, and there's managing personalities, and there's managing rotations, and managing egos, and you know, being a communicator, and developing talent, and developing personalities, and helping guys mature off the field, and building legitimate relationships, and all these things, and probably more things that I didn't mention. But you got to talk about the X's and O's because that's the thing that we see the most. You know, a lot of the coaching, when people talk about great locker room guys, and those guys exist, obviously. They're guys who are amazing at managing personalities, but we just don't really see them from our vantage point. There's a wall between us and the locker room, you know? It's really hard to tell. Even someone in my position who's closer to the team than, you know, your average fan. Obviously, I'm there. I'm talking to guys. I'm in there, and I you hear things. And so you can develop an educated opinion, but you just don't see it. You just don't see it. And the X's knows you see a little bit. And I think that's going to be an important thing. So I will be talking about that. So up on normantranscript.com, I have my corresponding coach's preview as well. That's going up Wednesday morning. I should say that's going up Thursday morning. If you don't see it up there yet because you're listening to the podcast particularly early, don't worry. This is going up particularly early too. It's going to be up early in the morning. So you'll be able to find it pretty quickly. Just give it a couple minutes and you'll be able to find it. Anyway, in that podcast, it's not just going to be – in that article, it's not just going to be writing. There's also a bunch of video stuff. There are GIFs with graphics in them and stuff like that. So you can kind of – if you're a visual learner, you can help kind of – you can understand a little bit better the inside baseball stuff that I'm talking about, the nitty-gritty of X's nose and that kind of stuff. But let's talk about the changes to the staff before we actually get into it. So Monty Williams is officially gone. He's now working with the Spurs front office. He was Billy Donovan's lead assistant last year, obviously left the team in February after a tragedy hit his family. And I think everybody wishes Monty the best in San Antonio. But Adrian Griffin is coming over from the Magic, and he's going to take his place. Griffin was with Orlando for 1 year. He was coaching under Scott Skiles there last season. Before that, he coached under Tom Thibodeau with the Bulls. That was for like half a decade. He was coaching with Skiles as an assistant in Milwaukee before that. He's often been a part of teams with hard-nosed defenses. That's no surprise, given he's coached under Tibbs and Skiles. And Royale Ivey will also be promoted to assistant coach this season, though I'm not sure if Royale is going to be sitting on the bench or not, or if he's going to be like a second-row guy during games. I'm interested to see how Donovan develops this year, too. You know, Presti had his press conference Wednesday, and he talked about the evolution of Donovan a lot during it. It was a theme he kept bringing up. He used terms like systematic approach. He talked about Billy having the traits of, what was his exact quote? His quote was a high potential individual. He called him. He had the traits of a high potential individual. He talked about curiosity and his demeanor and all of that. And I wonder how he adjusts during year two. I mean, there was clearly a learning curve during his rookie NBA season. Even he'll admit that. Like, there's no debating on that topic. Like, there was a clear learning curve. He was not as good of a coach at the beginning of the year as he was at the end of the year. And there were things he had to learn about managing rotations, about making quick decisions in the game, about when to call timeouts, and how to manage things that are just simply different than they are at the collegiate level. They're just different. Now, from a personality management standpoint, I think by all accounts, he did a really good job of that last year. And he's got that year under his belt now, and he knows many of the guys on the roster. But there's also been an identity change, and it's going to be fascinating. It's going to be fascinating to see how he kind of maneuvers through that. I wonder how his in-game decision-making changes. I wonder if his personality changes, and I wonder if his approach in the locker room changes. Now, Billy's going to be who he's going to be. He's not fake, and you can't be that way as a coach with your players anyway and get away with it. You can't be fake. You know, the players are people, and they see through that. Just like a manager can't be fake. It pisses people off. It's the same thing as a coach. You know, you don't want your boss to be like that. And a team is so much more of an intimate environment than your average working environment. You just can't get away with that stuff. But he can change his approach. He can learn from mistakes. Actually, you know who can learn from mistakes too? I think you can. Like when you buy an overpriced ticket to a game that ends up being not worth it at all. Isn't that the worst? Is there a more extreme feeling of regret? You walk into the arena or stadium, you get your seats, and they just aren't worth the money once you sit down where your seats are and you realize that you've got a terrible seat. So you start to wonder, how can I actually get the best deal on a ticket? Well, SeatGeek can help prevent that feeling. SeatGeek is an easy, mobile-friendly experience. Just download the app, SeatGeek, and the ticket is right there. You walk to the gate with the barcode right on your phone. There's a rating on every ticket, 1 to 100. To tell you what kind of bang for your buck you get on your ticket. Plus, there's an easy way to save more money. This is the important part. So make sure you get this. Just go to the settings tab on the app. Click add a promo code and type in my promo code, LO Thunder. That's one word, LO Thunder. LO, like locked on. And SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Want to know if there are any deals to Thunder games or Sooner games or maybe next year? OKC Dodgers games you're missing out on this fall, you can sign up for price alerts for events. And those are going to let you know pricing. And more importantly, they're going to point out the sneaky moments leading up to events when prices start to drop. And you can kind of duck your head in and get a SeatGeek for a price that you weren't expecting. And SeatGeek is going to make sure to let you know what's in your selected price range as well. There's no more wondering what if when you think you may have overpaid for a game. Use SeatGeek and that fear is gone.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily Oklahoma City Thunder podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Let's talk some schemes. Let's go to the offense first. There's going to be a philosophical change here. Kevin Durant's gone. You know him. He's out. Serge Ibaka's out. You've heard of him as well. Deion Waiters is gone. Deion Waiters is gone. Sad, sad day. I would love to be... Remember when Pedro Gomez was the Barry Bonds reporter? And he just followed around Barry Bonds everywhere? I guess nowadays we have people with that, with LeBron James, but... It was a really revolutionary thing in like 2002 to have a TV reporter from ESPN just kind of be the Barry Bonds guy on the beat of one individual. I'd do that with Deion Waiters. Dallas on Waiters Island. I'd be cool with that. That would be a fun job. But Durant's gone. Ibaka's gone. There's a philosophical change. There's an identity change. Thunder were always criticized for having a my turn, your turn. Offense, very isolation heavy. Lots of Westbrook goes, and then Durant goes, and then Westbrook goes, and Durant goes. And there was a lot of criticism of that. Now, the criticism was not as warranted as you might have expected. I mean, the Thunder had the second most efficient offense in the league last year behind the Warriors, who were historic in terms of their offensive efficiency. Offensive efficiency is just points per possession. That's it. The Warriors had an historic points per possession figure. The Thunder were second. It was a number that would lead the league most years, actually. It was the best non-Warriors offensive efficiency that a team has had in like 4 or 5 years in the league. They had a great offense last year. They had a really tremendously efficient offense last year. So you can knock the schemes. And there are certain things that we're not going... There are a lot of things we're not going to see anymore. I think we are going to see some more screening. I think we're going to see some more off-ball cutting. Probably more basket cutting than guys running off pin downs and that kind of stuff. I think only really Abrines is going to be a guy we're going to see kind of run off screens for three-pointers. There just aren't a lot of guys. Now ball screens, you can see pick and pops. Maybe pick and pop with Kanter every once in a while. Obviously, pick and pop with Ilyasova is going to be something the Thunder are going to use, especially if Ilyasova is in the starting lineup, which I think he will be, along with Russell Westbrook, Victor Oladipo, Andre Roberson, and Steven Adams. But I think we're going to see more movement. I think it's going to be an offense that's going to be predicated on penetration. Russell Westbrook getting into the lane, scoring at the rim, kicking out for the occasional three. Victor Oladipo doing the same. Those guys running pick and roll. I think these are all things that the Thunder are going to try to do. I think Steven Adams is going to end up getting more touches because someone's got to get more touches with Durant gone, and they're not all going to go to Westbrook, and they're not all going to go to Oladipo. I mean, these are all things that I see happening with this team. Now, there are certain things, certain types of movement plays. I think the Thunder, they're not going to scrap, but they're not going to run as much. I mean, they're like the Thunder ran a lot of pin downs for Kevin Durant. A pin down is when you have a guy basically set a screen, whether it's on the block or on the elbow or whatever it is. A guy sets a screen and opens up a guy running out to the three-point line, either for a three or a curl or something. Something like, basically, a guy runs off a curl off a screen. Maybe he runs off two screens, maybe runs off one, depending on the play. The Thunder used to get Kevin Durant the ball a lot, running off pin downs around the elbow. Durant would curl at the elbow. Sometimes he'd curl at the elbow, he'd go straight to the hoop. Sometimes he'd pull up and, you know, shoot a 15-footer. Sometimes he'd get it a little further back. He'd be at the wing at the three-point line. That would be normally a situation where sometimes he'd shoot off of those. But a lot of that time, that's when he would just go straight into an isolation play. So these were isolation plays. They'd end up being isolation plays. But they weren't just giving the ball at the top of the key with no movement at all. I mean, they were running these screens in order to try to get him open so they could get him the ball in the first place. And maybe when some teams were switching so that they get a switch, you know, some teams send two guys at him and maybe he can find the screener on a cut to the basket or something like that. Like, these were plays. They were plays. They weren't insanely complicated plays, but they were plays. That play, I just don't think we're going to see as much because there isn't a ball dominant wing on the roster. And that's not really how they're going to open up Russell Westbrook, because Russell Westbrook isn't going to shoot on those plays very often. The guy who I think, if he gets playing time, who I think we see run off of those types of screens the most is Alex Abrines, because that's the type of player that he is. And he can be a threat on, he can be a threat as a three-point shooter. I guess we could see Oladipo running off those screens too, but we're just not going to see it as much because that was their go-to way of getting Kevin Durant open. And we're not going to see that quite as much. But the rest of the offense does need to be hyper-aware. And that comes from the coaching. That comes from the coaching, that hyper-awareness. You know, Andre Roberson, who I think has become a more aware offensive player, needs to really understand when he should basket cut from the corner. Because there are times when he can do it, and he doesn't always. He needs to really, really recognize, because he needs to up his offensive game, as everybody knows. Because he's a wonderful defensive player, and there are times when he needs to recognize, you know, whatever defender who's being hidden on him has fallen asleep or has drifted too far away from him and, you know, helping in some other way. And he needs to realize, all right, this is a situation where I can cut. And someone's going to find me. And I think he did a pretty good job of that during the playoffs. I really do think he did a pretty good job of that. And I mentioned that. I mentioned that during the corresponding piece that I wrote, and that'll be up on normantranscript.com Thursday morning. I do mention that. But it's something that's got to carry into this season when he's got to up his game. And that's something that will come. You know, that's a direct effect of coaching. And you know, awareness comes from coaching. It comes from development. It comes from all that stuff. I think we're going to see Robinson more as an off-ball screener as well. We might see a little bit more pick and roll with him. Although some people are talking about that, I don't think we'll see it quite as much. I think that was when we saw pick and roll with him and that kind of stuff. It was specific to the Warriors series, the Warriors roster, and the way the Warriors were guarding him. And I don't know if we see that quite as much. I think there are better options for him with that. But him as an off-ball screener, I think is a possibility, especially if guys aren't going to quite guard him. It's not like he's really, maybe he's a floor spacer in name, and he's a floor spacer in just where he's standing on the floor, but he's not really a floor spacer in the way he's, the way defenses are reacting, and that's really all that matters. So you might as well use him to screen. You might as well use him to screen, especially if guys are going to be far away from him. Then maybe you can open somebody up because there's not a lot of guys to help on that screen near him. So you can use him. You can use him to screen a little bit more as well. And I think that's something that Donovan kind of discovered a little bit in the playoffs. And I think that's a principle that can cover into the continue into the regular season. And I think this team is just going to have, it's going to have a lot. There's going to be a lot of Russell Westbrook penetration, a lot of Victor Oladipo penetration, whether that's off ball screens, whether that's off isolation, whatever it is, that's going to be a major part of this team's identity, a major part of the way that Billy Donovan wants to run this offense. I think it's a middle of the pack offense in the league at the end of the year. But there are going to be times where that's going to do it. And Donovan could end up playing a bunch of lineups this year. Like there's a lot of skill set redundancy on this team. And there's a lot of players who are only offense or only defense. You know, Roberson is defense. You know, Westbrook is offense. Ilyasova is offense. Cantor is offense. You know, Morrow is offense. Like you look at these guys and there's a lot of guys who are kind of one way guys. And I wonder how that affects putting together a rotation. Like, I think Donovan's going to play with his rotations a lot this year. I think we're going to see him changing stuff up all the time. All the time. He's going to be moving things around. We're going to see a lot of rotational inconsistency, I think. I think at the end of the year, we're still going to see him playing around with lineups. Like, it honestly, it's a weird prediction. It's a weird prediction. It's a niche prediction, but I think it's possible that the Thunder play more lineups than any other team this year. Like, that's a distinct possibility. So just because of the way that their roster pans out and the constant search Donovan will be on to find shooting, because there's Ilyasova, there's Morrow, and there's Abrines, and I'm not sure that every single one of those guys is going to be a constant in the rotation for all 82 games. So I mean, that's pretty much it, unless Singler recovers his shot, which is possible, but I'm also not certain that Singler's going to be a constant in the rotation either, and that's really it for the guys who are above-average three-point shooters at their positions, unless you know, Oladipo really takes a leap as a shooter and shoots the ball like he did during the final 20, 25 games of last year when he was up somewhere around 40% in those final, you know, games after the All-Star break or around there, maybe after March 1st or something like that, and shot the ball really well down the stretch. But he's never shot the ball like that in his life. We'd have to see a larger sample size before we determine if that was a hot streak or not. So Donovan's going to be searching for shooting. He's going to be searching for ways to mend an offense and mend efficiency. And in doing so, I think he's going to end up playing. He's just going to end up playing a lot of guys. And the guys are going to be in the rotation and out of the rotation a lot. It could be for streaks. It could be quickly. Like, it could be that we see a guy for 22 minutes one game and we don't see him at all the next game. And it could be for streaks. Like, it could be there's a six-game stretch where fill in the blank gets a bunch of games, gets a bunch of minutes, and then he's out for somebody else for a little while. I don't know how Donovan's going to play it. That's part of the, you know, the evolution of him as a coach. We're still kind of learning what he's like as a coach throughout an 82-game season, because we've only seen him for 82 regular season games. So as he gives us more information on that standpoint, we can learn a little bit more about him. Let's talk about some of the defensive schemes too. It's going to be an aggressive defense, I have to imagine. I mean, I have to guess it's going to be an aggressive defense, because Oladipo and Westbrook are gamblers at the top of that defense. And maybe Oladipo can change because he's younger. Maybe he can hone it a little bit more. But, you know, Westbrook's always been like this. And Oladipo has always been like this. And gambling is not, you know, just because you're a gambler, it doesn't mean you're a bad defender. I want to make that clear. I think Oladipo is a plus defender. I think he's a plus defender. He is a really aggressive one. And Westbrook is a really aggressive defender, as we all know. He's prone to gamble, and he's prone to, you know, do funky things around ball screens too. So those guys, I don't know if it's smart to change them. Like, when a guy's got a good fastball, you don't want him throwing his changeup the majority of the time. You want him to learn how to develop a changeup, and you want to teach him when to use that changeup, but you don't want to stifle that 98-mile-an-hour heater. Like, that's what the changeup, that's what makes the changeup good. If you don't have that fastball anymore, then you don't have anything to work off of. So when you got that fastball, that's the most important thing with Oladipo. He's got the fastball. He's got the fastball, and he's good at it, and he's a good defender. But there are moments when he kind of does Russ-like things on defense, and I think Thunder fans who are a little more nerdy with the game will notice that after they watch him play defense a little bit, that he gambles. But I don't think you try to change a guy like that. Like, you hone him, but you don't change him. And we saw Donovan do that with Russ on offense last year. Now, I don't know how much credit goes to Russ, how much goes to Donovan, how much goes to the rest of the Thunder coaching, you know, how much goes to Mo Cheeks, who works with Russ all the time, and those two guys have a great relationship. I don't know, you know, how much goes to other people. Obviously, a bunch of it goes to Russell, but he was tremendous last year. I mean, best offensive season ever. I don't think anybody would argue against that statement. And part of it was because he was fantastic as a decision maker. It was his best decision making season that he ever had. He was a great facilitator. He played a more controlled style, and these traits didn't come at the expense. Like, he didn't lose any of the out of control, out of the recklessness, and I say recklessness as an extreme positive. He didn't lose any of the recklessness that turns him into one of the best point guards we've ever seen. He didn't lose any of it that turns him into one of the hardest players to guard in the entire league. He didn't get rid of any of that in still controlling himself, and I think Billy Donovan has to deserve, or at least this coaching staff, whether it's Donovan, whether it's Cheeks, whether it's anybody else, like, they deserve some amount of credit for honing Russ a little bit while also bringing out all of his, all the traits that just have made him tremendous for years, and really giving him his peak season. And I think that's good coaching. It really is. And maybe that's a trait, you know, I don't know if that's something that like can transfer from different players in different aspects of the game, but maybe that's something that can transfer to Victor Oladipo, because Victor Oladipo is a good defensive player. I think he's certainly a good defensive player. He has the potential to be a great defensive player. He really does. And maybe that's one way the Thunder can get him there. Now, I think you play a really aggressive style because you just assume that those guys are going to be aggressive. You make it so that, you know, Steven Adams is just hyper aware of what they're going to be doing. You make it so Roberson is, because those guys are going to have to be helping on the back line. And you work aggressive principles into your entire defense, not just those two guys. That's in part because this team is going to be really good on the run. You've got so much explosion with Oladipo and with Westbrook as your backcourt. Roberson runs the floor well. Like, the first unit should run. We're still learning a little bit what kind of a point guard Cameron Payne's going to be as the second unit guy. But Russell Westbrook's going to be running this offense for 36 minutes. And Victor Oladipo's probably going to be out there for 33. And there's a chance that he's going to be out there for the 12 minutes that Westbrook's off the floor, too. Like, he might be the guy running the second unit. That's a possibility. And the more that they run, the more they can find efficient offense. Because I don't think this is going to be close to a top 15 team as a half-court offense. As an overall offense, I think it will be close to 15. I don't think it'll quite be 15, but I think it'll be close. Because I think they're going to be one of the better teams in transition. Because Westbrook's great there. Roberson runs the floor well. Adams is really athletic. And this is a lot of minutes. These are guys who are getting a lot of minutes. And I think that they're going to skew in the top half of the league as a transition scoring team. And one of the things, one way to maintain average offense without shooters, but with good athletes, is to be efficient in transition and to get out in transition a lot. And one way you get out in transition a lot, you force live ball turnovers. And that's what Westbrook can do. It's what Oladipo can do. And now the guards, they're going to get caught out of place at times. And Westbrook and Oladipo, they have things in common in that sense, like I said before. So Donovan's got, he'll be working all of that into his schemes, and he's got to make sure the rest of the defenders are aware of what's happening. But I think you embrace it. And I really do think you embrace it. I think you trap on pick and rolls. You don't trap on pick and rolls all the time. It's dependent on your opponent, of course. But I think they do it a little more often than not. You bring Adams up high on ball screens. You just try to do what you can to force steals. And you can check out normantranscript.com and you can see some GIFs. And I gave a couple of scenarios in which, you know, Oladipo was maybe a little overzealous. And on top of that, ways that the Thunder were aggressive in the past, that helped. And that can complement all this. Before we head out, remember, I'm on every weekday now, Monday through Friday. This week is Thunder Season Preview Week, as you can tell. Remember, it's also Thunder Season Preview Week at the Norman Transcript, like I said. Got all that stuff up there. Head there, look at Presti's press conference or any of the other previews. And tomorrow, I'm going to be doing the Predictions and Expectations podcast, as well as a corresponding article on normantranscript.com. If you're subscribed to the show, you'll be all good on getting those. You can head on to iTunes and subscribe to Locked On Thunder there if you haven't already. If you have questions or comments, email lockedonthunder@gmail.com. You can also find me on Twitter @FredKatz, FREDKATZ. Log on to normantranscript.com for all your Thunder needs, including those previews, and check out Thunder Road to follow team coverage and what's next for the Thunder there. Thanks to SeatGeek. Thanks to SeatGeek for today's shows. Remember, you can enter the promo code LOTHUNDER. LOTHUNDER. Remember, it's one word, for a $20 rebate after your first purchase. That's going to do it for today. I'm back with you tomorrow for more Thunder and NBA talk. Until next time, though, Locked On Thunder is locking up.